If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Hi there. Welcome aboard. This is Radio Free America on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Duke Brooks is my name. The number here is 718-305-7176. Thanks very much for being along. welcome to Monday. Welcome to Official Income Tax Day. And also, I think this is the 101st anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic, but my observation about today is the Boston Marathon. I mean, they have bombed the Boston Marathon. It's unbelievable. Happened around 3:07 this afternoon when the most of the leading runners had already passed. This was 4 hours or so into the marathon. The Boston Marathon has been going on for 104 years or something like that. It's since the 1890s, actually. So, I mean, the Boston Marathon is one of the most revered, prestige, elite sporting events in the world. In its own sport, it means as much as the Super Bowl does, or the World Series does, or the Final Four. I mean, there's no question about it. It is absolutely a marquee event. And to a lot of people, it basically, it kind of begins the spring and summer and early fall sporting season. And just unbelievable that somebody would bomb the Boston Marathon. I mean, you know, you've got to be kidding me. It's unbelievable. Who on earth would do that? I have no idea who in their right mind. I mean, what kind of a nutcase would be trying to bomb the Boston Marathon? I simply don't get it. 718-305-7176. I thought tonight we could, I mean, certainly we'll talk about the events at the Boston Marathon today. It has been wall-to-wall news coverage since shortly around 3:20 or something this afternoon. And this is just another, I have no idea what is going on in this country today. I have no, why are people doing this sort of thing? And who are they? And, you know, in Boston, which is one of the liberal epicenters of the world, the idea that somebody, what if they find out that the bomber's name is Mohammed bin Mohammed bin Mohammed or something like that? What is Boston going to do about that? Well, they're not going to do anything. It's kind of like the North Koreans doing all that saber rattling. And they got John Kerry to do exactly what they wanted him to do. John Kerry wants to have talks. And John Kerry is now talking about providing aid to the North Koreans, which means that once that aid is gone, they are going to do the exact same thing that they have always done, which is they're going to make all kinds of noise, scare the daylights out of the hand-wringing, bedwetting liberals in this world, and then they'll get more aid, and then they'll ratchet it up another notch or two, and then they'll get more aid, and the same thing will happen until they're stopped. I mean, frankly, if it were me, I would certainly be demanding that they return the USS Pueblo, which, as you recall, was captured by the North Koreans around December of 1967. And I guess because LBJ realized that he was not going to be, he had probably made up his mind he wasn't going to run for president again already. And he simply didn't, you know, he just didn't want to mess with it. He figured he'd leave it for Nixon or Humphrey or something. And nobody has done anything about it. And frankly, I think that that is ridiculous. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. At conservativenationradio.org, Duke Brooks is my name. I am the warder of this particular insane asylum, which is run by you, the inmates. Give me a call at 718-305-7176. We have been talking a little bit about Boston Marathon, a little bit about the North Korean situation. It is just bizarre when things like this happen. I have no idea why anybody would want to bomb the Boston Marathon. So far, apparently, two people have died and many others are injured. And this is a very, very bad thing. I simply find it to be absolutely disgusting that somebody would do something like this to the Boston Marathon. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Who would, I mean, a sporting event like the marathon, you know, a sporting event like the Boston Marathon, why somebody would want to attack something of that nature is beyond me. This is from Huffington Post Crime. Let's see what they have to say here. Two explosions rocked the Boston Marathon near the finish line, causing multiple casualties and sending the city into chaos. Another explosion occurred at the JFK Library, but authorities were unsure if the incidents were linked. The blasts downtown in Copley Square occurred just before 3 p.m., according to Fox in Boston. The number of casualties changed rapidly throughout the afternoon. Two people were killed and 23 others were injured, according to a preliminary statement from Boston PD. The number rose to more than 100 injured about 2 hours ago, according to the Globe. The first blast filled the spectator gallery near the finish line with a gray cloud of smoke. Screaming witnesses immediately fled the area. 10 seconds later, a second explosion jolted the crowd. Streets reserved exclusively for runners filled with emergency crews as first responders climbed fences to reach wounded athletes and spectators. Flags from nations represented in the race were thrown to the ground. Not sure I get that. That's probably not done deliberately. Here is some additional information from the Associated Press. As people wailed in agony, bloody spectators were carried to a medical tent that had been set up to care for fatigued runners. Cell phone service was shut down in the Boston area to prevent any possible remote detonations of explosives, a law enforcement official said. The official was speaking on condition of anonymity because the investigation was ongoing. Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis asked people to stay indoors or go back to their hotel rooms and avoid crowds as bomb squads checked parcels and bags left along the race route. The FAA barred low-flying aircraft from within 3.5 miles of the site. All right, the Boston Marathon said that bombs caused two explosions and that organizers were working with authorities to determine what happened. The Boston Police Department said two were killed, 23 injured. At least 8 of the wounded were in critical condition, according to hospitals. A senior U.S. intelligence official said the two other explosive devices found nearby were being dismantled. The official spoke on condition of anonymity because he was not authorized to discuss the findings publicly. Well, there you go. I mean, just unbelievable. The Boston Marathon. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Yes, I'm calling because it's a sad day in America today. Another attack. So I'm just going to sit back and see what sick person did this. I hope it wasn't America. I hope, you know, it's just a sad day that we constantly getting attacked over madness thing. We got to stop trying to police the world and take care of America.
Sir, may I ask your name?
Mr. Colorado.
Oh, okay, sir. I thought I recognized you. How you doing, buddy?
All right.
All right. Now, let me ask you this question. Boston, 911, all that stuff aside, were we right to use every piece of diplomatic and trade leverage possible to end apartheid in South Africa?
Yes.
Are we the world's policemen?
No.
So why was it any of our business how South Africa was running their own country?
Well, see, what it was in South Africa, so many, you'd find 10, it was run by a group of people, and all them people who were from South Africa was over there suffering. I mean, they were suffering so bad. The South African people weren't doing it. It was them greedy people who was getting all that gold money and who were controlling everything. So if you're going to step in and help, it ain't about policing thing. If you're going to step in and do the right thing to get people out of poverty and try to help people, but just trying to rule the world and go around just telling people what they can't do in their country. See, them people didn't have a voice because their voice was took away like the people's voice was took away in America when all that ignorant shit was going on. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, which people's voices were taken away in America, sir?
Well, back in the 50s and the 60s when they had their march out there just to see can they vote, just to see can they, you know, they wasn't allowed to sit next to you in a restaurant. See, that was all ignorant stuff back in the days. So in South Africa, them people felt the pain that America blacks and all of them felt back in the days.
All right, so you're talking about the Jim Crow era, right?
Yes.
Okay. And there were groups such as the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the National Conference of Christians and Jews, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, the Congress of Racial Equality.
But Jews were getting killed along with the blacks. So,
sir,
you know,
all
for the Jews to have the attitudes that they have against them, they was getting slaughtered just as bad as the black people. Because I had heard plenty of people talking about how they hated Jews just as much as they hated blacks. So the ignorance was...
All right, sir, the civil rights, the groups from the civil rights days came together. The nation's attention was focused on the ridiculous idea that American citizens in the South, some of them were not being allowed to vote, and now they are allowed to vote, and things are different in this country now.
Well, they was allowed to vote, and you got people today trying to mess that vote up. Because, see, them same IDs they was using for George Bush and both of the Bushes and Reagan, but all of a sudden them IDs was bad for President Obama. So the same IDs that they was using and all the – and then they talking about voted fraud when they only find one in one community, and they anything that they can do, having people standing out there 4 and 5 hours to vote. Oh, no, that's stupid when it comes to America. How are we going to go around the world and try to help other people get their voting rights together and when they trying to corrupt ours right here in America when it wasn't no fault?
Sir, if let me ask you this. Do you think that someone who is not an American citizen should be allowed to vote here?
Someone who's not an American citizen should allow to vote him. That wasn't no problem.
Should.
They ain't even found that that was a problem about voting. That wasn't no problem.
But
they didn't find nothing.
Don't you think that if somebody is not a U.S. citizen, that they should not be voting?
How are they going to vote when they ain't got no IDs? Them people
because
went out there trying
some,
to vote.
There,
they was messing up
sir,
people who were from
some
America
states,
voting.
Sir, there are some states that do not require a government ID to vote.
Well, you know what? If that's the cause, they should have took care of that when George Bush and Reagan and both of the Bushes was in the White House. I ain't hear
it
all this about voting rights when they was presidents. If they were so concerned
it
about it, why they didn't start then?
It was not a problem then.
Well, it ain't no problem now.
Well,
how come it ain't a problem? The same people was here then. They ain't going to know where they was here then, and they still here. No, y'all made it a problem.
You've got people that are not American citizens who are voting, and I think that that's a very serious problem.
Well, how's the problem when there wasn't no problem when they were putting Bush in there, who was starting crazy wars, people getting slaughtered because Cheney wanted to be like Adolf Hitler and make up this bogus lie against Hussein and his family, and then America get along, go along with. He ain't no different than Adolf Hitler. He lied to the country got behind all them lies, and a lot of people died over a lie. So what's the difference what Cheney did and what Adolf Hitler did to them Jews?
Sir, every international intelligence operation in the world.
Well, who was leading it?
That Saddam Hussein thought that
who
Saddam Hussein was trying to buy yellow cake uranium from Niger.
Well, you know, America was leading the world then. Who was leading? Who put it out there? Bush and Cheney. They put it out there. So the other countries
how
just
many,
got aboard,
sir,
just like America
many,
got
sir,
aboard of that line.
Sir, there were at least four separate UN resolutions that were calling for Saddam Hussein to have international
before that war kicked out, Saddam Hussein and Bush and all of them was over there drinking tea together. An ordeal went wrong. Cheney put in his head he wanted to destroy that man. He didn't care. He took American life. He need to be in jail, him and Bush. Bush need to be in there watching his draws. They need to be in jail, both of them, for
what
the rest of their life.
What crimes did they commit, sir? What crimes did they commit?
Lying to the country, and we lost all them soldiers behind that damn lie. And they still ain't found what they said was over there. Talking about, if you listen to the news, they swept down. It was there. All we got to do, get in. It was a lie that they pushed. They pushed that lie. So many Americans died behind that lie, and they know they was lying. And so many Americans got behind that lie, so we were no different from them Jews when they got killed, and them German people got behind that lie that Adolf Hitler was doing. Ain't nothing
well,
different.
Sir. We're going to have to agree to disagree on that. I'm simply not, I don't think that Vice President Cheney and President Bush cooked up a lie to send us into Iraq because every international intelligence service in the world had information
they
that Saddam Hussein was trying
Bush
to get yellow cake
uranium.
That's what they were trying to do. And, if 12 people say to you, look, this is what we think is happening, you're going to tend to accept what they're saying.
Why are we so quick to drop bombs on people? Why is this country so quick to go to other people's country and start slaughtering their women and kids? Because we could pass the law over here, so that make it okay?
Is it okay for the Arabs to kill 3,000 Americans in the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and airplanes? Is that right with you?
It wasn't Hussein. Hussein didn't do it.
Everybody
come
knows
over here and
he didn't
America.
Have anything to do with it. So, in other words, you're all right with us going into Afghanistan
when they had no weapons of mass destruction. How do you think the people going to love America? They all Muslims, so because we want to think they – you know what? Who was the biggest terrorist in America? White America, when they was out there doing what they were doing back when they was going around here slaughtering people as KKK. This was the biggest terrorist in America.
All right. Well, sir, that sounds like racism to me, and it's time
for
us to think
of
great.
I know it sounds like racism to you, but that's the truth. Y'all don't like the truth.
I appreciate you calling, sir. I appreciate
you calling.
Y'all
don't like the truth.
Okay, there you go. Thank you very much, sir. Mr. Colorado seems like a very nice guy. I'm actually happy to hear from him when he does call in. Listen, we conservatives respect pioneers, as you're aware. And Brenda Ward, my buddy Brenda, has been with us here at conservativenationradio.org since the very beginning. Michelle Malkin, Laura Ingram, Ann Coulter, Monica Crowley, they've got nothing on Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. It's Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and that's the place to hear from real women who are real patriots. So let your voice be heard. Incidentally, you conservative guys are welcome at our very own B&B as well. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Always entertained by Mr. Colorado's calls. And we're going to take a brief break here. More of your calls are coming up, so don't go away.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
You must be your fairy godmother.
In the classic fairy tale,
Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size.
Oh, that does make a difference.
To make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Happy to you. Thank you.
Remember, you're responsible for protecting your children. Their happily ever afters are in your hands. For even more information about choosing the right car seat, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
Prevent your child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Talking to myself and feeling old. Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. Thanks for being here. This is Radio Free America. It is, of course, Monday, and now I have a big announcement to make. Or if I can quote G.D. Spradlin in the character of General Corman in the Coppola film Apocalypse Now, now I have some additional shocking news to tell you. This is the last Monday edition of Radio Free America. Starting on Wednesday the 24th, Radio Free America moves to its new night here at conservativenationradio.org, and that will be Wednesday. So this is our last Monday show, and starting next Wednesday the 24th, Radio Free America will be a Wednesday program. Sadly, I don't think I've got any music that has Wednesday as a reference in it. You know, if it's Monday, you could use Ba Ba Monday, which you'll hear later. You know, we always use that. And we just heard Rainy Days and Mondays by the Carpenters. I always kind of love the Carpenters. You know, I mean, they were terrific. And that poor girl, Karen, who passed away from anorexia, very, very tragic. But there's really nothing for Wednesday. If I was moving to Tuesday, I could use Tuesday Afternoon by the Moody Blues, etc. Don't know of anything for Thursdays. Friday, there's several songs, you know, that have Friday references, weekend references. But nothing for Wednesday that I know of. I mean, if you know of something, go ahead and give me a shout. The number is 718-305-7176. We are not a music request show, but if you know of a good song for our new home on Wednesdays, beginning next Wednesday, the 24th, not this Wednesday, the 17th, but next Wednesday, the 24th, is the new home of Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org, and I hope that you will stick around. So far, no specific updates for the Boston Marathon. I'm not really sure why somebody would do what they did. I think it's just absolutely absurd, and there were a lot of people that were hurt up there. If you saw any of the footage today, you would have seen at least one person who seemed to have been knocked down in the street. The people that were near the explosion, of course, some of them were very, very seriously injured in that. And I hope that whoever did this gets caught. I hope that they are put in prison and then executed. You know, I mean, you know, this guy or person, whoever it is, killed at least two people, very seriously wounded other people, and as a result, I think he needs to be put in prison and then executed. But Massachusetts doesn't really believe in punishing violent criminals that way. They just, you know, they just don't believe it. Now then, here is a I am looking at some photos on various websites here, and here is a picture of a guy whose feet have been blown off. He's in a wheelchair with a tourniquet. I mean, it is really something. And they, you know, they warned that people were going to be grossed out by looking at this. Here's this guy in the wheelchair, and it's obvious that both of his feet have been blown off. I mean, you know, you can see the poor guy's tibia and fibia. I mean, it's really, really bad. And that poor guy in the wheelchair is, you know, obviously thinking to himself, my God, I just came out to one of the premier sporting events in the entire world, and the next thing I knew, now I'm a double amputee. I mean, it's just, you know, just absolutely horrible. There is simply no way on earth to justify this sort of thing. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Who on earth would want to do this at the Boston Marathon? It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. What on earth is going on? What has to happen to return our country to the kind of well-mannered sort of people that we used to be? This kind of thing never happened. You know, this kind of thing never happened. I mean, maybe somebody who is familiar with Boston or, you know, has been to the marathon. I know that there are people out there that have. 718-305-7176 is the number, and I hope that we can hear from somebody, because I would like – I don't know very much about the Boston Marathon. I do know a marathon is 26 miles, 385 yards. And, I mean, frankly, athletically, I am nowhere. I mean, hey, look, I'm going to be 58 in a couple of months, and the last time – that I was involved in any kind of serious organized physical exertion trip, Jimmy Carter was the president of the United States, and I'd had enough of it by the time I was a senior in college, you know, and after that I didn't really do much. I did a little bit of light exercising, Nautilus, some jogging, that kind of thing, until I was about 32 or something, and then I guess around 87 is when I kind of stopped. But to be able to run 26 miles, 385 yards, that is unbelievable. The record time is still somewhere around 2 hours and 10 minutes, something like that. There was a woman today, I think from Nigeria, who ran it in 2 hours and 32 minutes. Women are not quite as fast on marathons as men are. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Hi, this is Linda.
Hey, Linda, where are you calling from?
I'm actually calling from Delaware, but I'm originally from Massachusetts. I've actually been to the marathon. I haven't participated in it, although I did for a charity walk the marathon route at one time, but I never ran it.
How long did that take you? How long did it take you to walk the Boston Marathon?
I'm not positive. It was a long time ago. I want to say probably about 6 hours.
Yeah, 6 hours. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
An estimate from my memory. It was a long time ago.
That is just a tragic. Now, you're from the New England area?
Yes, I was raised in Massachusetts. I was born in Vermont, but raised in Massachusetts.
I see. Okay.
And I lived there till I was about somewhere in my 40s.
When was the last time that you were back up at the hub of the universe?
Probably about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit longer.
I mean, Boston is referred to as the hub of the universe, is it not?
I guess. I mean, they do call the Prudential, you know, the top of the hub, so I guess that would be true.
Yeah. Well, it is a wonderful city. I've been to Boston several times. I think in September of 2009 was the last time I was in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
That was the last time I was in Manhattan as well, and shortly thereafter I went out to Chicago. But Boston is wonderful. It is a fantastic city. There
yeah.
are a lot of people that love it more than they love New York. I suppose I could kind of understand that maybe a little bit. I'm not sure. But what do you – I mean, Boston is fairly well equipped for events of this nature. Isn't that right?
Oh, absolutely. And they have a huge police presence there. And, you know, I know that I've heard a little bit today about folks, of course, criticizing the you know, they had bomb-sniffing dogs there, and how did this get past them? Well, you know, those things are going to happen. I mean, no system is perfect. I don't fault them at all. I think that they did a good job with security, and, you know, if someone wants to get in there and do something like this, they're going to do it. They could have been inside an apartment building and then just, you know, stepped right outside. I mean, anything like that could have happened. So I don't fault the police department or, you know, ATF or whatever they had working there. I think that it was just one of those things. But it really is tragic because, of course, it really affected innocent people. It didn't even – I don't think it really injured many runners that I've heard. I think it was pretty much all just people that were in the crowd watching. And interestingly enough, I do know that the last half mile – of that race was dedicated to the families of the Newtown massacre. And many of those families were there in the grandstands. So as if they haven't been thrown off.
Unbelievable. It ends at Copley Square?
Yes.
And what now is that the Boston equivalent of something like Central Park or what?
I guess you could call it that. I mean, it's certainly a well-known junction right there, you know. So
okay.
Yeah, I guess it would be similar to it. It's not a park or anything, but certainly it's a centralized, well-known location like Central Park would be in New York.
How far away is it from Fenway?
I don't know, to be honest. I don't remember how far away it is, to be honest with you. It's
have
not
you been
that
to baseball thing. Games? It's, since you're from up there, have you been to games at Fenway?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I started going to games at Fenway when I was, 6 or 7 years old, probably. In fact, I remember going to one game on the day of the Boston Marathon because I can remember clearly as a child being on a bus coming back, and we got stuck waiting for the marathon to finish going through. So, yeah.
So, in other words, you have seen the Green Monster in person.
Many times, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a great book.
All right,
absolutely.
Linda, thank you so much for calling, and I hope to hear from you again starting a week from the day after tomorrow when we move.
All right. That sounds good. Thanks.
Thanks for calling. Always appreciate that up-close and personal perspective. That lady, obviously, from that area. Now, let us assume, I'm gonna stick my neck out here. This is going to be huge, okay? I'm a risk-taking guy. But let us assume that if you are listening to conservativenation.org, then you are probably a conservative. You love America and our Constitution just like we do. Now, since that is the case, You're going to want a supply depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers, patriotic T-shirts, flags, all that stuff. And your pipeline to all that is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That's going to take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag, proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives. More of your calls are coming up. Don't go away.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan.
So, do you like it?
Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
You're gonna fly. Hi, everyone. This is Reba McEntire for RAD. You know, I see a lot of funny things traveling all over this beautiful country of ours. But one thing that's not very funny is when someone gets in a car trying to drive when they're drunk. Take their keys away from them, because friends don't let friends drive drunk. You're gonna see.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Yes, indeed. That's a good question, isn't it? Why don't you liberals try rooting for your own country for a change? Listen up there, Mr. Colorado. What's the deal? Anyway, the deal is, it is 23 minutes before the top of the hour. This is the last Monday edition of Radio Free America. This is conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks is my name. The number is 718-305-7176, and we have been talking a little bit about today's just horrible, tragic news from the Boston Marathon. Listen, I'm not kidding. There is a photo on the internet of this poor guy. I mean, obviously, this poor guy has had both of his feet blown off, and he's in a wheelchair. There are a lot of these pictures that are available on the internet, and I have found quite a few of them here. And it is obvious that a lot of these people were very, very seriously hurt. I mean, there is just absolutely no excuse for this sort of thing. The people of Boston will absolutely rise to this occasion. There is no question about it. There are going to be people up there. I mean, I can listen. Look, normally I don't say this sort of thing, especially not about Boston, because they are also like liberal men. And I really don't care for the liberal outlook on things. I just don't. However, some of the best medical care that exists in this world, actually all of the best medical care in the world, is available in the United States. And within the United States, where are the best hospitals imaginable? Well, certainly Johns Hopkins in Baltimore is one of them. The famous Brigham and Women's Hospital in Baltimore, Boston, is another one. They have some of the best medical care known to mankind available in Boston. And I can guarantee you that those hospitals and those emergency workers will, in fact, be responding to this tragedy today. You are live on the air on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Hello, Duke.
Speaking.
Hi, this is Bill, your friend from Delaware. Hopefully your friend.
Mr. Bill? Mr. Bill?
Yeah.
How are you doing, pal?
I'm doing
you're
great.
My chili club fan club member, right?
Listen, I had a great pot of chili last week that I told you about that I use the meatloaf mix with now.
Ah.
And it turns out great. Plus, I throw in some extra hot stuff.
Okay.
I like it hot.
You don't want it to overwhelm. Now, let me ask you this. Have you been to Boston? Are you familiar with that area?
I was in Boston, maybe 20 years ago or so on a Washington Bullets basketball team, basketball game at the Gardens there, which are no more, I believe. Hmm?
Yeah, they, I really don't know anything about the Boston Gardens.
Yeah, well, they had the parquet floor and, We went up as a fan club to visit Boston, and I've also been through Boston on a cruise.
Okay. What did you think of the city?
I really wasn't there long enough to make any judgment, but, you know, it seemed clean, and it was a lot more polite than the trip I went to Philadelphia.
I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, Philadelphia can be a little nasty sometimes. I lived there for a long time. But, I mean, I'm certain that I've been on the air now for about 41 minutes. Have you heard any additional news as to the identity? Apparently, the Boston police do have somebody in custody they're referring to as a person of interest.
I've heard it's a person in a hospital, but that's all I've heard, and they're not giving it. They're not giving out any identification.
Right. Okay.
For this time, for obvious reasons. If he's not a person of interest, I mean, if he's a completely innocent person, leave him alone.
Have you seen any of the internet photos that I mentioned? That poor guy in the wheelchair, who's, you know, his legs have been blown apart.
No, I've not seen that, and I probably don't want to.
Yeah, I understand.
I didn't want to see the crime scene of the Newtown, Connecticut massacre either.
No, nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see that. Anyway, what do you think we ought to do about all this, Bill?
Well, I'd like to see the celebrity in chief come out with a better response than he did tonight.
Yeah, I heard he had a speech sometime after 6 o'clock, but I was getting ready for the show, so I couldn't really listen to it. What did he say?
It was very brief. He offered his condolences to the families, and like as in Benghazi, he said everything was going to be looked into, and, you know, we'll get down to this. But that hasn't happened with Benghazi. I don't know if it'll happen here. I mean, do you feel, you know, comfortable with Homeland Security?
No, I don't. Not with the people in charge of it now. Janet Napolitano, I mean, it's just forget about it. It's a huge government bureaucracy. The entire purpose of it is just to stay there. And I'm just not sure how effective they are, and I'm not really sure. You know, the difference between American approach to airline safety and Israeli approach to airline safety is that in America, we want to try to find the bomb. The Israelis want to try to find the bomber, and that's the difference. That's why there's never been an incident like that on El Al, the Israeli national airline. Because if you are an Arab with known ties to Hamas or a Holy Land Foundation or one of these things, they just don't let you on their airplane. Profile.
You can't profile here. You can't pull over a gangbanger, you know, smoking dope now unless he's committed a traffic violation.
Well, maybe we, you know, in New York City, they have a police technique that's called stop and frisk. And they have arrested a lot of people carrying guns. They have cut their crime rate dramatically up there by doing that. And some people say it's not constitutional, but, you know, I suppose, Bill, that desperate times call for desperate measures. Wouldn't you agree?
I sure would. And, you know, some people don't like the idea of drones flying around, but I think that could be a good crime deterrent.
If you are outside, you have no reasonable expectation of privacy. I mean, if you know, if you're out driving around in your car, you're walking around on a city street, what kind of expectation of privacy do you think you should have? I don't think you should have any. If you're inside your house, that is completely different. If you're inside an office building, the door is closed, that is different. You have a reasonable expectation of privacy there. You don't have one on a street.
Well, I certainly concur with, you know, being inside my house, you know, that's my castle. But, you know, if a drone could find out, you know, where some flash mobs were gathering or something like that, that could be a terrific police, you know, additive or, you know.
I absolutely agree. You know, there are other things that, listen, a policeman mounted on horseback is still about the best kind of crowd control that you can get. You know, there are times when the cops have to be tough. There's no question about it. There is absolutely no doubt. There are times when, you know, sometimes what it takes is a Popeye Doyle. You know, sometimes it takes a really tough cop. And we need to acknowledge that. And there are some crimes and some criminals that just the only thing that they're going to understand is a couple of police with nightsticks and pistols. It's the only thing that they're going to understand.
Well, sure. I'll sure go along with that. Listen, do me a favor and send me an email reminder about your show moving to Wednesday.
You will indeed get an email later on this week. Everyone will.
Okay, great. And just one last little piece of advice I'd like to impart to you.
Sure.
And I picked it up off the internet.
Oh.
Never get into a discussion.
That is true.
Well, of course it's true. But never get into a discussion with an idiot. They will drag you down to their level and beat you with experience.
Well, you know, I'm very happy that we have had very few idiots calling Radio Free America, not since the dive bombing attack of November 2009 at WGMD. So I'm fortunate about that. But I have heard that phrase, and I do appreciate it. Bill, thanks for calling, my friend.
And good to talk to you.
You too, pal. Thanks a lot. All right. It is about 12 minutes now before the top of the hour. You know, there are, in addition to the fact that Radio Free America is moving to Wednesdays, starting next Wednesday, the 24th, which is National Administrative Assistance Day, by the way. I think it used to be called National Secretary's Day, but there were a bunch of ladies that were very upset by that or something. But you know, it is by now, it's pretty clear that the switch is on to us here at conservativenationradio.org. If you have any doubts, just check out our new Saturday program with internet radio veteran Robert Garding. It's the New Wise Conservatism Show, and it now comes to you on conservativenationradio.org every Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. After years hosting the New Wise Conservatism Show, Robert has a big following, so listen Saturday and you're going to find out why. Thousands love his brand of New Wise Conservatism, and you will too. The New Wise Conservatism Show with Robert Garding, Saturdays at 4 Eastern, 3 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. More of your calls are coming up, so don't go away.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Now, here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Welcome back to Radio Free America. Duke Brooks here. It's about 8.5 minutes now before the top of the hour on the final Monday edition of Radio Free America. Yes, it's true. We're moving to Wednesdays. The first Wednesday edition of Radio Free America will be next Wednesday, the 24th. So make sure every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you are listening to conservativenationradio.org. We are real conservatism for real conservatives. And yes, I am, you know, in high school, they called me a Bircher. They called me a John Bircher. I didn't really know about John Birch until a few years ago. John Birch was a Christian missionary in Korea, who was the first person, the first civilian that was killed, first American civilian, killed by the Norcore commies, the North Korean communists, in June of 1950 when the Korean War broke out. Apparently, he was taken. I think the North Koreans kidnapped the guy. You know, they do that a lot. The North Koreans have kidnapped, apparently they've returned all of them, but they kidnapped a bunch of Japanese. They would send up a submarine into the Sea of Japan, and anybody that was out walking on the beach at night, they would send a rubber boat and they would just kidnap them and bring them to North Korea, where they would ask them all kinds of questions and try to politically re-educate them and that sort of thing. I mean, the communists are the worst human beings in the entire world, and the only thing that they really understand, like any other bully, is a broken nose, a couple of teeth knocked out, and a couple of cracked ribs. That's the only thing that a bully understands. They understand nothing else. And what is our fabulous Massachusetts wealthy limousine liberal John Kerry doing now? Well, he is conceding to them. He is trying to appease them by telling them you can't build any more nuclear weapons than the ones you've already got. They may have 6, 8, or 10 of them, for all we know. I had posted on DelawarePolitics.net. I do a lot of blogging, a lot of writing, in addition to internet broadcasting. I do a bunch of other stuff too, but that's for another time. And the fact of the matter is there are a lot of people who are just sympathetic to the North Koreans. I put up a blog post on DelawarePolitics.net. Even if you're not in Delaware, we've had two callers in Delaware tonight. Very interesting. One from Colorado. I think Mr. Colorado is from Colorado. I don't know. I've never met him in person. He's always an entertaining call, though, you know, very amusing. In any event, the North Koreans, very, very serious problem, and appeasing them is never going to work. Some people think, oh, if we can just get them to stop their nuclear program, everything will be sweetness and light and hearts and flowers. It isn't going to be that way. Those guys are literally starving their own people to death. I mean, literally, that's what they're doing. Communism cannot feed itself. As they say, in capitalism, there is never enough money. In communism, there is never enough food. That's pretty much the deal. Somebody on one occasion said something very interesting. He said to me, under capitalism, man exploits his fellow man. Under communism, it's the other way around. I thought that was a panic. Then on one occasion, many years ago, when I kept my small airplane in Ocean City, and it wasn't more than a 5 or 6 minute ride from my house back then, yep, the Challenger. It is a two-seat, two-place, open cockpit with a pusher engine, high wing, a lot of fun, and it's called a QCU Challenger 2L, and however, it is affectionately known by pilots worldwide as the flying death trap, the airborne casket, the widowmaker, the pilot eliminator, or the orphan creator. Actually, I just made that last one up, but the airplane, it can be a little bit twitchy. It just doesn't have the roll rate that I like an aircraft to have. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, that's because you spent all that time in helicopters. All you have to do is just think about a 90-degree left bank, and there you are. Well, okay, that's true, but even still, something like a Cessna has better aileron authority than the Challenger does. The Challenger has all the power, all the elevator, and all the rudder that you need. It's just the roll of the ailerons, banking left to right. It just doesn't have the kind of response that I like. And, you know, I've always thought that flying should be fun. It should be really enjoyable. When you're up there flying, you should be loving every single moment of it. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's the whole point. But with the Challenger, you get a kick under the right wing, and all of a sudden you are in what's known as an uncommanded left bank, and you give that stick full right displacement all the way to the inside of your right knee, and it still doesn't level the wings. Dan Rowe, who is the best Challenger pilot I've ever met, on one occasion said to me, oh, come on, Duke, that's just part of the fun of flying a Challenger. And I didn't know whether I wanted, oh, good grief. There's nothing fun about the feeling that you are about to lose control of the aircraft. That doesn't make any sense. You know, I mean, seriously. So anyway, the Challenger was wonderful. And in order to have the aircraft maintained, you need a person who has demonstrated to the FAA that they have the skills and the history that's necessary and the training and everything to maintain a particular airplane. And I met a guy online or talked to him on the phone. I think I made some calls. And I had the guy come down from Boston to maintain my ship. And I put him up at a hotel in Ocean. I think he brought his wife with him. And they gave me a good annual inspection on the airplane. All right, now, the guy is from Boston, and he had a very interesting comment on one occasion. I thought this was brilliant. He said, communism is a good idea until you think about it. And that kind of sums it up. Anyway, it is the top of the hour, 1 hour down, one left. This is Radio Free America, real conservatism for real conservatives.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
On sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices and put the bogus myths to bed at Bedsider.org.
Boy, we got options tonight.
Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it. That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is Radio Free America. This is ConservativeNationRadio.org. Duke Brooks is my name. 718-305-7176 is the number. I'm now being informed that the individual, the person of interest in the Boston Marathon bombing apparently is a Saudi national. Okay. When are we going to learn? You don't allow people like that into this country. When are we going to say, look, if you're a Mohammedan Arab, you're just not allowed in this country. If you were born here and you're an Arab and you're a Mohammedan, okay, you can stay because you're a citizen technically. But if you are not, I don't care how long you've lived here. I don't care how many relatives here you have. You have to leave. I mean, that's what they're going to do. I don't care. They need to, all of them. They simply do not belong here. They are here to do us harm. It is that simple. 718-305-7176 is the number. This is the last Monday edition of Radio Free America, and I hope that you are – I hope somebody's taken all this down, because one day – you are going to be able to say to your grandchildren, I was there listening live to the very last Monday edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. And the grandkids are going to go, wow. 718-305-7176 is the number. Earlier, I was reminded of a story that is making its way through the the news cycle now. There is a veteran, a former Marine, I think he's in the Midwest somewhere, lives in some small town somewhere, and they have an ordinance that you are not supposed to display any flags other than the American flag, the POW flag, and the state flag. And this guy has the Marine Corps flag, Navy, Army, Coast Guard, and POW, and I think the Gadsden flag, which is the one that is known as Don't Tread on Me. And they are trying to fine him $300 a day for doing this. There are also all over the country popping up, especially in New England for some reason. Can you imagine that? Or at least in the Northeast, Pennsylvania, north and east of there, that a veterans group last week was flying the Gadsden flag, Don't Tread on Me, and the town told them that they had to take it down, and some town manager or some elected official in this little town, I forget where it is, said that his justification for telling the veteran to take down this the veterans to take down this flag was that that flag is now the flag of the Tea Party. It's an ultra right wing flag. It's a flag from our country's history, gang. That was our flag before Old Glory was our flag. It just doesn't – what is with this politically correct nonsense? It's got to be brought to a halt. Got to do something. We're going to have to get control over the teachers' unions, the schools, and the media somehow. We have got to begin putting conservatives into those positions. There is simply no way around it. The liberals – own education in this country. They own the unions. They own the media. There's no question about it. We've got to stop them because they are literally brainwashing the American people and American school students into believing their left-wing nonsense. And that stuff has just got to stop. 718-305-7176 is the number. And apparently, I'm seeing here, according to several news sources from the New York Post to the Associated Press and CNN and others, are reporting the Boston Marathon terrorist is a Saudi national and a student here on a student visa. Lovely. 20-year-old Saudi national fits the standard profile. Absolutely. Thank you, chat room observers. I appreciate that. We have to do something. Gang, we just can't let them in here anymore. Why are we allowing foreigners to study in our colleges in the first place? I don't get that. Why are we basically saying, hey, we'll teach you everything we know, then you can go back home and turn it against us? I mean, frankly, that's what's going on. Why we allow the Chinamen to come over here and study, I have no idea. Why are we permitting that? Why would we allow anybody to come to this country and study unless they are from a country that is an absolute ally of the United States? I don't think China really – China is not our ally. China is not America's friend. They do business with us, but that's it. They're not our friend. They're not our ally. Frankly, they are our enemy, and why we would allow them to come over here – I simply don't I don't understand it. I don't get it. Maybe you understand it better than I do. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. If you can figure this out, you're a better person than I am, because I just can't. Unless the entire purpose of it is to complete the liberal agenda, which ultimately is to for this country to be laid low. That's what they like. That's what they want. There isn't any doubt about that. All you have to do is look at their record. You know, I mean, that's what they want to have happen. There's no question about it. There are still quite a few photos on the internet concerning the Boston Marathon bombings today. I just maybe somewhere way down deep inside, for an instant, I was hoping against all hope that the bombs were placed at the IRS office. I don't know. You know, I don't advocate bombing of anything, especially not in a civilian context like this. I think Timothy McVeigh pretty much got what he did. The guy was a mass murderer. You know, a mass murderer like that, sorry, you got to go. You know, it's that simple. But in this case, a Saudi national, that was the deal. That's who did it. No question. 718-305-7176 is the number. Why is John Kerry conceding to the North Koreans? Why is he trying to appease them? Do you have any idea at all? Is it just because that is the personality of the liberal? Do what the other guy wants and everything will be fine. Everything will not be fine. When you appease a bully, all you get is bullied some more. It's that simple. I mean, seriously, why would anybody have any doubt about that? It's pretty obvious. I mean, they tried to appease Hitler, and as soon as Hitler realized that Daladier and Benesch and Chamberlain were weaklings, he just decided to bully them some more. And he knew. He knew that, and he knew that they were weak. He knew that they were weaklings. It's exactly what they were. Some people can say, well, you know, France and England just did not have the arms that was necessary to fight a war back then. Well, that was their own fault. That was their own fault. You have got to be ready. The only way to have peace is to be prepared for war. That has been that's just axiomatic. Everybody understands that. Now then, are you a heavy metal type of person? You know, Yngwie J. Malmsteen, Crocus, Striper, you know, bands like that, Blue Oyster Cult. If you want proof that there are conservative headbangers, just ask our own Christopher Manti. Join Christopher every Friday right here on conservativenationradio.org for the Christopher Manti Show at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, for a fresh take on conservative thought, modern America, the threat of Sharia, and the weird, wild, wacky, wonderful world of Washington, D.C., plus some heavy metal rock and roll. The Christopher Manti Show, which could readily be called eponymous, Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. It's about 13 minutes now after the hour. This is the last Monday night edition of Radio Free America. We have the normal things coming up. We've got on this day in the Civil War, starting very soon, we have Common Sense with Kevin Wade coming up. I see that they are trying to process the audio for Common Sense with Kevin Wade. I hope that is ready by 8:40. If not, I'm going to have to, to be honest with you, I'm really not sure what I'm going to have to do in order to get Common Sense with Kevin Wade ready. However, we're going to work on it. If it's not ready this time, then next Wednesday, the 24th, we will have it. Blog Talk Radio occasionally takes longer to get things operational and get them set up in the studio than one would like. This one has been in process now for well over an hour and 25 minutes. I'm not really sure why it's taking so long, but what are you going to do? I'm not a computer whiz. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. Almost 15 minutes after the hour, we have been talking about not only the Boston Marathon terrorist attack, which I'm seeing indications now, the person that did it was a Saudi national who is here studying on a student visa. Good grief. I guess, you know, there's only one thing that is learned from history, and that is that nothing is learned from history. And that's really about the size of it, isn't it? We just don't learn. We just don't learn. You know, all of us here at conservativenationradio.org are proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service that there is, LifeLock. Now, you're aware by now, LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There is really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. So to protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. You will be glad that you did. More of your calls are coming up. Stay right where you are.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Sure, humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me, I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Monday, Monday, so good to me. Monday morning, it
yes,
was
indeed.
All I hoped it would be.
Welcome back. This is Radio Free America. This is the last time that we're rolling out on Monday, gang. This is the last Monday show of Radio Free America. Starting next Wednesday, the 24th, we will be coming to you Wednesday nights at 7 Eastern, 6 Central, Radio Free America, starting next Wednesday, the 24th. Make it your Wednesday night appointment. 718-305-7176 is the number. Duke Brooks is my name. This is Radio Free America. On conservativenationradio.org, real conservatism for real conservatives. Where are we going in this country when we allow Mohammedan terrorists to come in here under the guise of being students? They blow up the Boston Marathon, kill and maim a whole bunch of people. At the same time, somebody wants to fly the Gadsden flag, the Don't Tread on Me flag, and they're told that they're not allowed to do so because that flag is now associated with extreme right-wing groups, the Tea Party, and all that kind of stuff. I just don't understand what is happening in our country. All right, I see a whole bunch of you folks in the chat room. And I want to hear from you. 718-305-7176 is the number. And why don't you give me a call? Now, some things are going to change about Radio Free America. The big one is that it is moving to Wednesday, but not everything about Radio Free America is going to change. Oh, no. Some things are remaining the same. such as on this day in Civil War history that is coming up here any moment. I think it's going to be a very, you know, we're 150 years past the Civil War. We're in the sesquicentennial of the Civil War right now. The Civil War, our Civil War in this country, truly is one of the most interesting, you know, amazing studies that a person can get involved in. I was a reenactor for a long time, about 4 or 5 years. I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. And I think it's something that anybody would really enjoy. If you care about our country's history, the chances are good that you are going to enjoy doing something like Civil War reenactment. It is just an awful lot of fun. And it's, you know, those Civil War weekends, they were, it was more than just, you know, taking the weekend off. I mean, it, you know, it's one thing to change your location. In Civil War reenactment, it's almost the same as going back in time. Yes, indeed. 150 years ago today, April 15th, 1863, the 150th anniversary of the Civil War upon us, General Grant's forces continued to move from Milliken's Bend on the Mississippi River to below Vicksburg, skirmishing near Dunbar's Plantation on Bayou Vidal, Louisiana. Confederate troops withdrew from their siege of Washington, North Carolina, begun on March 30th on the approach of a federal relieving force. For the second day, troops engaged near the Norfleet House in Virginia, not far from Suffolk. A skirmish occurred at Piketon, Kentucky, and an expedition operated from LaGrange to Salisbury, Tennessee. Banks's Federals occupied Franklin, Louisiana. From this day until May 2nd, Federals carried out an expedition from Corinth, Mississippi to Cortland, Alabama. The CSS Alabama took two U.S. whalers off the island of Fernando de Noronha, Brazil. Lincoln expressed concern to General Hooker over the slowness of General Stoneman's cavalry operations on the Rappahannock. Now then, all right, let's chat about some of these things. You know, the Confederates, as everyone knows, were first to begin building an ironclad warship. And what they did when the Civil War began and Virginia seceded from the Union after South Carolina and Mississippi and, you know, some of the other southern states and Florida, Georgia had begun to do that, Alabama, South Carolina was first. Later, Virginia seceded. And the Union, of course, the United States Navy, had a huge fleet in Norfolk, as we do now, I might add. And one of the ships that was in the dry dock at Norfolk, at a place called the Gosport Navy Yard, was a sloop of war called the USS Merrimack. And they tried to burn the Union ships that they couldn't get out of the harbor. And back then, there were still a lot of ships that were powered only by sails, so you couldn't leave when you wanted to. You had to wait for the wind. And they tried to burn and sink the USS Merrimack. And what happened was they were able to burn down the masts and the taffrails and the mizzen mast and the spanker vangs and all this other, you know, 19th century sailing terminology, but the ship sank. That put out most of the fire, and all of the mechanical equipment on the ship, the boilers, the gears, the props, the shafts, all that stuff, the so-called stuffing box glands, all that stuff was preserved. It was waterlogged, but it was completely repairable. So the Confederates took it over, and the Confederates decided that they were going to try something new and something radical. They were going to try to protect the ship from cannon shot by putting what was known as a casemate of iron bars and iron rails with sloping sides, no sails. And that was renamed the CSS Virginia. And in this day in the Civil War, the 15th of April in 1863 was a Wednesday. And I mentioned the Confederate ram Alabama. What the Confederates saw, the Union Monitor, which some people refer to as a cheese box on a raft, and the Monitor was the first combat vessel that ever had a turret like that. But the Confederates never adopted the turret. They stayed with the guns along the side configuration of warships. And in some of them, the CSS Tennessee, which famously did combat at the Battle of Mobile Bay in 1864, when Admiral Farragut made his famous pronouncement, "Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead," they had a forward gun in the CSS Tennessee that could be pivoted and moved to one of three gun ports, and an after gun in the same configuration, kind of like a, almost like a poor man's turret, for lack of a better word. I don't know why the Confederates never went with the turreted design. Obviously, you know, after the Battle of Hampton Roads on March 9th, 1862, when the Monitor and the Virginia did combat, the whole purpose of that, incidentally, was that the Union was blockading Hampton Roads. And they were doing that to keep the Confederate ports shut, because by then the Confederates basically owned Norfolk and Suffolk, and you know, they owned that part of the Tidewater. And there were several Union warships there that were blockading the Southerners, the USS Congress, the USS Cumberland, the USS Minnesota. And on March 8th, 1862, the CSS Virginia, the former USS Merrimack, now under new management, sailed out from Gosport at about 2 or 3 knots. It's all it could do, and it could barely be steered, to try to take out those Union ships. And it attacked the Congress and sank it. It attacked the Cumberland and sank it. And by then it was getting dark. The Minnesota, I believe, had run aground. So the Virginia sailed back to Gosport and was planning to come out again the next morning. But by then, the USS Monitor had arrived, and the Monitor stood between Gosport and Hampton Roads to defend the Union ships that had been under attack the previous day. And this is one of those moments in history when absolutely everything changes. That was it. At that moment, every other navy in the world became obsolete, because it didn't matter how many cannonballs you fired at the Monitor, you simply could not sink it. Likewise, the Virginia, the battle was about 3.5 hours, and these two ships, these two strange, this was brand new. Nobody had ever seen anything like this happen, and people could come out of Newport News, and they could stand kind of on the bluffs, and people watched it, and they made sketches of it, and I mean, it was just, it must have been an unbelievable event. Can you imagine actually being there and watching that happen? I mean, it's just mind-boggling that someone may have, you know, people stood there and they watched it, almost like the First Battle of Manassas in July of 1861. Everybody came out from Washington. They knew the Rebs were coming. The Rebs came by train, which right to the battlefield by train, which is something that had never happened in warfare before. Don't know why, but it never did. And they watched this battle take place, and when the battle got a little too close, they all skedaddled back to Washington. But people were watching the Battle of Hampton Roads on March 9th, 1862, as the Monitor and the Merrimack fought it out to a standstill. I mean, technically, one could say that the Union won, and the reason the Union won that battle is that the Union's blockade remained in effect. The Southerners were trying to break the blockade. They were trying to take out those Union ships, and then they were going to sail out of Norfolk and ostensibly sail over to England and trade cotton and all that kind of stuff for guns, you know, all that sort of thing. And then they would have sued in some Victorian era equivalent of a world court to have the blockade declared broken. And once that happened, I think the rules back then were that they could access that port as much as they wanted to for 90 days or six months or something. Who knows? Anyway, it's about 29 minutes before the top of the hour. We're going to take a little break. More of your calls are coming up. Stay where you are.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Higgin Resch sent you. Thethirdlantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome back. This is Radio Free America, the very last Monday evening edition thereof. We move to Wednesdays starting next Wednesday, April 24th, which is Administrator Professionals Day. There is no connection there. It is strictly a coincidence. You be the judge. 718-305-7176 is the number. Duke Brooks is the name. Radio Free America is the show. ConservativeNationRadio.org is the network. The next event coming at you is Common Sense with Kevin Wade. We're going to be getting to that in just a moment or two. Apparently, It is a 20-year-old Saudi national is the person who now they are saying is the suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing. And that, of course, should not be a surprise to anybody. Do you remember when the shuttle Columbia broke up over Texas on reentry back in 2002? I remember that. And, you know, I was watching Fox News that morning, and I expected, because there was an Israeli astronaut on board, I expected NASA to say the next day that they were looking for one of their employees, Mohammed bin Mohammed bin Mohammed, who was, you know, missing from NASA or something. But apparently that the, you know, it was not a terrorist thing. It was, you know whose fault the destruction of the Columbia was? It was the environmentalists' fault. I don't care what they think. It was the environmentalists, and here's the reason why. They were so concerned about an aerosol propellant called chlorofluorocarbon that they forced the government to ban that substance. That substance had other uses in addition to being a propellant in spray cans. One of the uses was in the formulation of the foam lining that covers the external tank on the shuttle. And because they couldn't use chlorofluorocarbon anymore in the external tank liner, the external covering on the external tank, that foam insulation became less, it became more brittle. It became less resilient. It was more likely to come off of the external tank when subjected to the loads and the vibrations of liftoff. And a chunk of it came off the external tank. It banged into the leading edge of the left wing of the shuttle orbiter, or vehicle, as they call it. And that is what caused that hole in the wing to open up. And that is why, as we all remember, if you don't remember this, you should remember it, that when they were over Texas, Mission Control in Houston, where Leroy Cain was the mission controller, he was the flight director, and he got a couple of call-outs from his engineers saying the left main landing gear well temperature sensor has just gone off scale and then went offline. And then a second one in the left wing went off scale, and then it went offline. And a moment later, they lost contact with the shuttle orbiter vehicle. And a couple of minutes after that, they began getting word that people outside in Texas, north of Houston, north of Dallas even, were seeing the broken up shuttle tracking across the sky, trailing smoke and debris behind it. There was a lady from India on board that flight, some Indian scientific genius. I've forgotten her name, sadly. There was an Israeli on board the flight, Israeli Air Force officer. I think he was either the first or the second Israeli to fly into space. And I was just so sure that this was going to be an Arab terrorist, a Mohammedan terrorizing murderer that was responsible for it, as it, you know, it turned out NASA says that that was not the reason. But NASA is under the politically correct banner at this point. I mean, they're doing all kinds of things to, you know, be politically correct. I remember seeing on a NASA website 6-8 years ago when this so-called global warming nonsense was really moving to the fore, and the media, the colleges, and the environmentalist wackos and everybody else were picking up on this thing and gung-ho, and yeah, you know, this is our opportunity to put Exxon out of business and all that kind of stuff. And there was on NASA, on several NASA websites, mission websites, the SOHO mission, the Solar Heliopause Explorer or something like that, COBE, the cosmic background, whatever it was, they had determined that the surface of the sun was getting warmer. The surface of the sun was getting hotter. And it may have only gone up by 100 or 200 degrees centigrade, which, you know, the surface of the sun, I think, is between 10 and 12,000 degrees centigrade. I mean, it's very hot, obviously, very, very hot. But shortly thereafter, they took that information off. I don't really know why they did, but they did. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Duke, Michael in Newcastle. How are you?
Hey, Michael, how are you doing, buddy?
Doing great, doing great. As to fill in listening to your dissertation on the Columbia accident, the Indian woman who lost her life was a two-time NASA astronaut named Kalpana Chawla.
Okay.
And her story is particularly intriguing because she had flown in space once before aboard Columbia about 4 years earlier, and she committed a major mistake during her mission. She was responsible for Columbia's robotic arm and was deploying a payload and forgot a critical switch throw to turn the power on that payload. When she released it, the crew lost control of it, which later forced two astronauts to go outside and grab it by hand, one of the more dramatic spacewalks in the history of the shuttle program. Usually when an astronaut commits a screw-up of that proportion, that's the last you ever hear of them. Since the days of Scott Carpenter, when you foul up in flight, you become an unperson. You may remember Carpenter fouled up in Mercury flight and ran out of fuel and nearly killed himself. And
that's right, yeah, yeah.
You remember NASA management publicly swore he was done.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And now let me ask you this, Michael. Have you worked for NASA, or are you simply a student of NASA history?
As a professional flight instructor, I am a student of aviation history, particularly NASA history.
Ah, okay. All right, very fine. Very fine. Now, Delaware, of course, has a very direct connection to NASA, and that is that International Latex in Dover built quite a few of the NASA spacesuits.
Yes, they do, and they still build all the suits that were used in the shuttle program and the ones aboard the U.S. segment of the ISS today. But to get back to the Columbia, Chawla's presence aboard Columbia marked a major change in NASA's thinking patterns because, you know, had it been 10 years earlier, she would have been blackballed out of the program. And Ilan Ramon, who is the first and only Israeli to fly in space, was already a national hero in Israel because he was a member of the legendary Osiris 7 that attacked and destroyed Saddam Hussein's nuclear reactor, and he's the only one. It was a suicide mission. None of them were expected to live. In fact, six of the seven are still alive today, the exception being Colonel Ramon, who lost his life aboard the Columbia.
Well, I can, you know, my immediate reaction was that, you know, it was probably a Mohammedan terrorist. Of course, as it turned out, it was not. At least that's what they told us. But NASA, you know, spaceflight is an extraordinarily dangerous thing. Flight itself is dangerous. And if you don't know what you're doing and things don't go correctly, obviously we all know what the consequences can be.
Absolutely, and that was a spot-on analysis about the environmentalists and the what the loss of the Freon-based compounds were on the manufacturer of the external tank insulation. Of course, though, the sad truth of it is, had NASA simply decided to treat the problem more serious, as serious as it was, we know now, of course, that there was a technological solution to the problem. When the shuttles resumed flying in 2005, NASA succeeded in their redesign objective of limiting foam shedding to 1/100th the size of the foam chunk that destroyed the Columbia. Foam chunk, by the way, and foam is a misnomer. When that stuff cures and it breaks off the tank, it's as hard as a brick.
And the substance called the reinforced carbon, which is the black stuff that you see on the bottom and on parts of the space shuttle to shed heat very rapidly, compared to a piece of that external tank insulation moving at several hundred miles an hour against it, it can't stand up to it, and that's why it punched a hole in the leading edge of the left wing.
Even in the earliest days of the development of the program, when John Young, the astronaut who was first to fly the Columbia in 1981, he and Robert Crippen, his pilot on STS-1, which is remembered to this day as the gutsiest test flight ever undertaken by man, they went to visit the factory in California where Columbia was built, and Young famously looked up at those gray panels on the leading edge of the wing and says to the engineer conducting the tour, "Those things don't look too strong," he said in his famous southern drawl. And the engineer infamously said, "Captain Young, I could take me a baseball bat to that thing, swing it with all my might, and it'll break the bat." And that, of course, turned out to be an incredibly tragic miscalculation.
I think if I had been either Bob Crippen or John Young, I think I probably would have said, well, go get a baseball bat and do it. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in the very early days of Project Mercury, Gus Grissom went to the Rocketdyne factory or whichever factory they were building the Atlas booster, and Gus Grissom was not a particularly articulate guy, and all the workers were there waiting for him to say something, and his quote was, "Do good work." And they put up a big giant banner that said, "Do good work." That was it, but you know, apparently there are, you know, technology is not perfect. It is not now. It never will be. Michael, thank you so much for calling in this evening. It's always a pleasure to speak with you, my friend. We've got Common Sense with Kevin Wade coming up. So I hope talk to you on Wednesday the 24th.
Okay. Well, Squawk 1200, radar service terminated, frequency change approved.
Good day. Thank you, my
Bye.
Friend. All right. Pilot buddy Mike calling from Newcastle. This is Common Sense with Kevin Wade.
Conservatives acknowledge that our American traditions, culture, laws, and language, in fact, our American way of doing things, have served the interests of our country very well since 1776. Our Constitution does not establish economic rights, only political and civil rights. Despite recent interpretations, the Constitution does not guarantee jobs, housing, food, or medicine to anybody, nor should it. Americans have always been perfectly capable of earning for themselves the things they want and need. The promise of America is opportunity, not guarantees. Some thoughts in the American way after this.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov.
brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
President John F. Kennedy remains one of the most beloved Americans in our history. But despite the accomplishments of his presidency, he is best remembered for his inaugural address, in which he said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." That was right in 1961, and it still is today. That's just common sense. I'm Kevin Wade.
Yes, indeed. Common Sense with Kevin Wade will continue to be heard starting next Wednesday, the 24th, when Radio Free America moves to our new night. Wednesdays, starting next Wednesday, the 24th, at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. You know, the leftist media would love it if conservatives like us thought that we're just a couple of isolated, lonely voices out there in the wilderness. But don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls, even those that are done by liberals. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TRADAM as we call it here at CNR. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars, very important, and find out what's new in the conservative community. So join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. I do hope to see you there soon. TRADAM is a liberal-free website. Beautiful. All right, we're going to take a little break, and more of your calls are coming up, so don't go away.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it. You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org. If you love America, you're among friends here.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave 2037, so he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman. Something cool like that. I think Dave 2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve 2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve 2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right. But don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your future? You got to start saving now. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
Hey, let's just hope Steve 2037 doesn't get his hands on a cool time machine, because he is going to come back here and knock some sense into you.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him in the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Awesome.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here? You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Well, that is the way things go in the talk radio industry. You're in, you're out, hello, goodbye. It's about 6 minutes now before the top of the hour. This is Radio Free America. This is conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks here, and in our continuing, ongoing effort to make sure that you, the listeners of Conservative Nation Radio, are well and truly informed, Barbara Buffing is on air. Good evening, Barbara. How you doing?
Good evening. I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, I was fine until they tried to blow up the Boston Marathon. You know, other than that, I was okay. So what's happening on Women Patriots tomorrow night, buddy?
We have Marine Jude Eden. She's an Iraqi veteran, and she's going to be talking about the issues concerning women in combat. You know, and, you know, you've discussed this before when first came out with it. She's awesome. She's got blogs. And I was reading the blogs and I was just like totally amazed. She's really good at writing and she tells a really good story. So join us tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock right here at conservativenationradio.org. And that's 6 o'clock, Central Time.
And your guest is an officer of Marines?
She's a Marine.
Okay.
She's a Marine, and her name is Jude Eden. She didn't say that she was an officer.
All right. Okay. But, well, it's going to be very interesting. And,
join us and find out.
Yes. Well, I almost always do. But thanks so much for being with me tonight, Barbara, and I look forward to hearing you tomorrow night.
All right. Thanks, Duke.
Have a great evening, hon. All right. Always a great show, Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. And tomorrow night, obviously, they'll be talking about the presence of women in combat. I am against women in combat. I think that women absolutely have a completely appropriate role in the military. No question about it, but combat is not where they belong. We can talk about that. Maybe we'll talk about it next Wednesday, the 24th, at 7 Eastern, 6 Central, when Radio Free America moves to its new day on conservativenationradio.org. I hope that you will be joining me then. 718-305-7176 is the number. Last week about this time, I asked you if you had a hobby, and I fessed up. I admitted to everyone that the overriding hobby in my life, when I think of hobby, I think of building model airplanes. I build scale models of things. I absolutely love it. It is a lot of fun. I've been doing some model railroading lately as well. And that's an awful lot of fun, depending upon how much cooperation you get from the different people involved, but I digress. But I have been building models for, I would say, probably 53 years now, since I was 4 or 5 years old, and I love it. And several days ago, I finished building a model helicopter, called the Bell H-13H, which civilians know as the Bell 47G, or the MASH helicopter. And it is such a lot of fun. It's very therapeutic. You can just relax and take it easy. And, you know, it's important to keep your mind active and engaged and involved. But, you know, I don't know about you. I simply cannot focus on one thing at all times and never take a break from it. That's just the defect of my brain. It's highly defective. I know somebody, I don't want to name any names, but her initials are, well, never mind, who will agree with you that, and with me, that my brain is defective. Anyway, we've got about, oh, there you go. There's that British lady saying 90 seconds. I you know, it's kind of like being on the Nostromo when Ripley is getting ready to blow up the engines, or, you know, on the surface of LV-426 when they're trying to get out of there. And, you know, good grief. Anyway, thank you so much for being along with me this evening. Check out my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Duke Brooks, and my Radio Free America page as well, conservativenationradio.org and traditionalamericanmovement.com. They are all great places to be. I look forward to speaking with you again 1 week from Wednesday, April 24th at 7, 6 Central. Thanks a lot for being along. Have a great week and a great weekend.